In Tunisia, while local tempers heat up, people are finding their way out.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. This morning, hundreds of tourists are being evacuated from the North African Mediterranean country, Tunisia. There is a general strike today following a month of deadly violence there. Protesters have taken to the streets. They're speaking out against high food prices, unemployment, and a lack of civil liberties. Last night, the Tunisian president, Zine El Abidine Ben Ali, tried to end the unrest by announcing he would not seek re-election. He's ordered a price cut for some basic foods and promised more democracy there. The BBC's Adam Minot is with us from the capital, Tunis. Hi, Adam.
Hi there. Good morning to you.
People who don't have jobs and they can't afford food, they've been taking to the streets to send this message to the president. The president spoke last night. Did he do any good?
Well, it certainly did seem to open up the democratic space because people have gathered in their thousands in the middle of the capital, Tunis, this morning to say that they do want change in this country. But the message they're giving is that that change can only come if President Ben Ali stands down. They say that he is leading a corrupt government and the future for Tunisia must be a future without him.
What more needs to happen, Adam, for this violence to stop?
I think, really, the protest has reached such a momentum now that it is going to continue. President Ben Ali said when he spoke to the nation on television last night that live weapons would not be used at rallies in the future. That was welcomed. He said he wanted to open up the country to more free speech. That was the right thing. But the message that the country is very clearly putting out is that this can only happen if he and what is described as his corrupt administration leaves the country as quickly as possible.
The BBC's Adam Minot joining us from Tunis. Adam, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
And it's not just Tunisia where food prices are on the rise. It's happening globally. Let's bring in Marketplace's Adrian Hill from our sustainability desk, who joins me now here in the studio. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, Steve.
So what's going on? Why are these food prices so high?
You know, it's a lot of things. Some of the major grain producers were hard hit by weather. You remember the drought and fires in Russia?
Oh, yeah.
And now the floods in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
The USDA just cut its outlook for global grain supplies, signaling tighter food supply. And we're doing a lot more than just eating food. You know, we're turning it into fuel these days. There's more demand.
And how do the food prices, Adrian, compare to the spikes a couple of years ago, back in 2008, when we saw riots in a lot of the world?
Well, according to the UN, at the end of 2010, the price of food was actually higher than its peak in 2008. Some countries are feeling the increase more than others. Here in the U.S., food prices are only up a tiny bit. But in India, for example, food prices have risen nearly 20%. I talked to an analyst named Maximo Torero from the International Food Policy Research Institute, and he says globally, things are mostly under control.
Right now, there is no reason to have panic. Right now, there is reason to be alert and to understand that this is a tight situation.
All right, it's tight, but not out of control. So what's the outlook then?
Torero thinks in the short run, with some government interventions, the price increases will be mostly manageable. But like all things market-related, it's impossible to know for sure. And of course, analysts disagree. There's worry that price speculators are going to get involved. They're going to see this bubble and jump on in. There's also concern in the longer run that climate change is going to have a huge impact on food supply. Extreme weather like floods and droughts, not good for feeding all of us.
And one last question for you, Adrian, is as the prices keep climbing. Who wins? I mean, someone's doing well, right?
There are always winners, it
Oh, yeah.
Seems like. Cargill, for one, the U.S. company that produces food and agriculture products and trades commodities, announced huge quarterly earnings this week. They actually tripled their profits. Farmers could benefit, too, if these prices keep going up and they actually get the weather they need to grow their crops.
Marketplace's Adrian Hill with us from the Sustainability Desk. Adrian, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mostly lower at the moment. Profits at chipmaker Intel surged 48% in the fourth quarter. Shares rose yesterday. We're going to get the latest on retail sales for December later this morning, along with gauges on consumer prices and industrial production. Wall Street yesterday, markets lost a little ground, though. The Dow shed 23 points to close at 11,731.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com.
Here's an offer many British high school graduates may find hard to refuse. A major employer there is offering to pay college tuition for up to 100 students and put them on an annual salary as well. The catch? The degree program is in accounting. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
The accounting giant KPMG has launched the scheme in a bid to make accounting more sexy. It should, on the face of it, succeed. The firm will not only pay the students tuition and accommodation costs, it'll pay them a salary of $30,000 a year too. There is a downside. Successful applicants won't spend much time chilling out in the student union. In the first 3 years of the course, they'll work around 9 months of the year at KPMG offices under strict supervision. But, says economist Andrew Hilton, accounting can be the gateway to a glittering career in business.
Boring and dreadful though it is for the first 20 years, you emerge at the end as the CEO of a major corporation with, you know, huge bonuses, a vast salary and a second or third house in the sun.
KPMG admits that it's launched its scheme because of trouble recruiting and retaining staff. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, a new poll shows a third of Americans lie to their spouses and partners about money. Harris Interactive did this online survey. It showed more than 30% of couples were not truthful about issues concerning their combined finances. Both genders, by the way, lie in equal numbers, according to the poll. The most common untruth among couples? Not telling the significant other about cash, hidden cash. The most common result? A heated argument because of the other's so-called financial infidelity. That's what it's being called these days. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Losing weight is high on a lot of people's New Year's resolutions, so gyms are offering all kinds of new classes to get people in the door.
It's basically yoga meets aerial aerobics meets Pink at the Grammys because she was hanging up from the rafters.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the latest in fitness fads and the latest news from Wall Street. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.